We're in Exodus chapter 29. You know, in this passage, the Lord has been preparing them for working with the tabernacle, the priests and the high priest, and he's been describing the clothing they have to wear. And the picture with the clothing is that we have to come to the Lord with his righteousness in order to meet with the Lord, and only find that through Christ, okay? So that's the picture. And we see Jesus, obviously, through all these things. We started last time in chapter 29, and the Lord was describing the work that the priest and the high priest are supposed to be doing and the preparation for them in order to be able to do that work. So as we look at this, let's jump into down to verse 15, because we looked a little bit last time at that sin offering in the section before that, and that's where they had to bring the bull, and they laid their hands on the bull to identify themselves with him, and that was acknowledging that the bull was dying in their place. And that's the sin offering. Now we get to verse 15. He said, "You shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram," and there's the identification also, "and you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it all around the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with its pieces and with its head. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord." And here the Lord tells them again, they're to take this ram and they're to place their hands on it before they kill it. And that again is identifying themselves with the ram. Now here's, I like the notes I have in this Bible I'm using today. It says, "When a bull was brought into the tabernacle and Aaron and his sons put their hands on its head, they were doing something that was common in the sin offering sacrifice. Their action was a symbolic gesture in which they were transferring all guilt and sin over to that animal, and then that animal, having received the sins, was slain. And the New Testament tells us, for the wages of sin is death. And there came then that consciousness upon the individual that this animal was his substitute. The animal was dying in his place." Now, when we come to Christ, the same idea is there. He bore our sins. All we have, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the Lord made that transference of our sin and our guilt, our iniquity, and placed it upon Christ when he died on the cross. So it says when we see Jesus dying on the cross, we must recognize it was not for his guilt, but for our guilt that he was dying. He is our substitute. He is our sacrifice. And my guilt was transferred onto him. And that's the picture that the Lord was establishing way back here with the rams and the different animals like the bulls that they were putting their hands on to say that although this animal is innocent, it hasn't done the sins that I have done. I'm putting my sins on, I'm identifying with it, and it therefore will die in my place, so my sins will be covered. Now, the New Testament explains the difference, you know, that the animal's blood, they can only cover their sin. It couldn't remove it. With Christ, we have our sins completely removed by his blood. And that's an amazing thing for us to understand, because the Lord has completely removed our sins from us. And that only could be done by the sacrifice of Christ. It was by his blood that that took place. So the Lord establishing that teaching way back here through the animals that are sacrificed, he explains now that this is a burnt offering to the Lord in verse 18. And if you notice, he said, "You'll burn the whole ram on the altar." So first of all, they had a sin offering for their sins. The second offering they now are to do is this burnt offering. And the burnt offering is a dedication completely to the Lord, where you're saying, "I'm giving you myself, I'm giving all of you, I'm not holding anything back at all." So that would be the burnt offering. That's why it was completely burned up. There wasn't anything left of that animal when it was done. And this is interesting as we look at this picture, because the burnt offering only comes after the sin offering. In other words, you can't completely dedicate yourself to the Lord until your sin has been removed. You have to come to Christ first. We'll look at this in the New Testament here, kind of get a picture of this in Romans chapter 12. You'll see the description of how we're to give ourselves to the Lord. Notice, as we're looking at this too, that when we talk about these sacrifices in the Old Testament, and we'll see a number of them as the Lord describes them, and they all have a meaning, they all have a purpose. But for us in the New Testament, Jesus, he fulfills every one of those sacrifices for us, every single one of them. He is our sin offering. He is the burnt offering. He makes it possible for us to give our lives to the Lord. So he is included every one of those. That's why we don't have to find ourselves a bull somewhere if we don't raise them, and we don't have to go buy a lamb somewhere and go through all these things, because Jesus has done all of that for us. So maybe as Gentiles, we don't appreciate that as much, having not lived through the Old Testament, having to bring these sacrifices all the time to the Lord, and to see how much was required for us just to have our sins covered, just to come and to be able to pray to the Lord and come into his presence. Now, in Romans chapter 12, if you look at verse 1, as we talk about this burnt offering, this complete dedication to the Lord, he said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren," in verse 1 of chapter 12 of Romans, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." And it means you give everything about yourself. When it talks about your bodies, it doesn't mean just the physical body, but it means everything about you. "That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And our offering then to the Lord is only holy because of what Christ has done. So that's why we had the sin offering first. Our sins were paid for. Now as we're born again, we're alive in Christ, now we can give our life completely to the Lord and say, "Lord, just take all of me. I give you everything I have." And the Lord says that is a living, holy sacrifice that's acceptable to him. Okay? And that is what we should do. We should get to the point in our walk as a Christian to say, "I'm not holding anything back from the Lord. Lord, I'm giving you everything I have to give. Nothing held back at all." And that's the picture of this. And even back here in the book of Exodus again, it mentions at the end of verse 18, it said, "It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord." So although it would probably smell kind of burnt as they were burning this thing up there, to the Lord, it was a sweet-smelling aroma because it was a total dedication, you know. And you think about this, we'll be hitting this off and on as we go through the passage here. That's what we were designed for. We were designed to totally serve the Lord. That's why we don't find fulfillment in anything else in this world. You can search and search and search and try all kinds of things, but you won't find fulfillment and total peace until you get in line with what God designed you for, and that was to worship him, to have fellowship with him, to serve him, okay? So this is an awesome picture. The Lord was using these animals kind of as a very visual picture of the blood side, the ugliness of sin, the butchering of the animal. That would be a very horrible sight to see all the time. And that picture was that that's how horrible sin is. It causes death. It causes this sadness. And that's the only thing sin has for us. But the Lord's going to take those things and use them for good as he teaches us, you know, this is taking care of your sin. Now your sin's okay. This is also taking care of now you're totally giving yourself to me. And that's a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. And I love, somebody had brought this up before when I mentioned this before too. The thing that comes to mind when you talk about that sweet smelling aroma is that smell of barbecue. You know, when you're maybe out somewhere and all of a sudden it just comes through the breeze and right through your nostrils, like, whoa, that was good. That's the picture that we get when we talk about this as a sweet smelling aroma to the Lord. That same kind of, wow, that's good stuff. Okay. Now, when we talk about this burnt offering, and a total sacrifice of giving ourselves to the Lord, the idea is that we're always going to obey the Lord. Now, Jesus was that picture for us, right? He always obeyed the Father. There wasn't anything he did, he said, that was his own will. He said, "I've not come to do my will, I've come to do the Father's will." So everything he did was in obedience to his Father. Now, try that one on for size. As sinners, we struggle, you know, just going through maybe a day of obeying the Lord completely with everything. But the Lord calls us to have that as our goal. He knows we're going to fall short of that because we're selfish. We've got this sin nature that we're dragging with us. But the Lord keeps that goal and that standard in front of us, that we want to be totally offered to the Lord and totally consecrated to him. Now, take a look as it goes further in Exodus 29. By the way, I usually mention that when we go through that Romans 12 passage. I like what Chuck Swindoll said, the danger with us being a living sacrifice as we give ourselves to the Lord. The problem with that is a living sacrifice, we keep climbing off the altar, you know, instead of staying there and saying, Lord, I'm yours today and forever. You know, usually we say, well, I'm going to go be selfish for a while, and we climb off the altar and we got to get back there again. But the desire is that we would be that living sacrifice for the Lord. In Exodus 29, verse 19, you shall also take the other ram, and remember he had to bring two rams here, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. There's identification again. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot. And then you're supposed to sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Okay, so interesting picture here as it talks about putting this blood in specific places on Aaron, the high priest, and his sons. The picture of putting that blood on the ear is the idea that, Lord, let me hear what you have to say to me. When the picture of the blood on the thumb, it's whatever work I do, Lord, let it be for you and for your glory. And then the blood on the big toe is, Lord, let me walk in your ways, you know. And it's just a picture of that total dedication to the Lord, that everything I do, Lord, what I hear, the jobs I do, the work I do, and where I go, I want to all do this for you, Lord, okay? And the blood itself is a reminder of the sacrifice. Again, these things are not possible without a sacrifice. And we praise the Lord, again, that Jesus was our sacrifice. He did all this for us. And as the Lord is consecrating Aaron and his sons here, the idea is he's setting them apart now for holy use. And that's why we come to the Lord and give ourselves to the Lord also, that he might use us now for his purposes, now that we've been cleansed and we're now follower of Christ. So we ask the Lord, use us. You know, we're here. You've done so much for us, Lord. Please allow us to serve you, and you use us for your glory. Now, if you want to look at something in the New Testament that's a picture of this, in Galatians chapter 2, Paul sums this up very well. In case you wonder, how does that really play out in the life of a Christian? In Galatians chapter 2, and this is a great verse to go back to over and over again, because it's a very good reminder for us as we go through the world on a daily basis here. Galatians 2, if you look down to verse 20, this is Paul speaking. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's that picture of that dedication of our life now belongs to the Lord. And Paul looked at it, and he had his mindset of, I'm not even alive. I died with Christ on the cross. The only life I have now is Christ living in me. And that's that beautiful picture of a life totally dedicated to the Lord. Now, back in Exodus again, if you look at verse 21, as it talked about putting that blood on their ear and on their thumb and their big toe, verse 21 says, and you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments. So you're mixing the blood and the oil together, and now you're going to sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments. You're going to sprinkle it on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him, and he and his garments shall be hallowed, and his sons' garments with him. And it's a very interesting picture again now. The Lord is saying, can you see what these guys would look like if they took the blood and oil, mixed it together, then they sprinkled it on them? They've got all these beautiful garments on, you know, and everything's spotless. It's really nice. But now you've got these stains that would be on here, stains of blood, stains of oil. And those are an amazing picture for us, too. The blood is that picture of the sacrifice. The oil is the picture of the Holy Spirit, okay? And this talks about their ministry again, that it's necessary to have the blood to have our sins taken care of so that we can now serve the Lord. And that's that reminder to them that you're not here on your own. You're not here because you're good enough. You're here because of the sacrifice. And that's why you're allowed to serve. Okay? So that would be a reminder to people who saw them and saw the stain of the blood on there, or if they even looked down themselves as they were doing their work and they saw the blood and oil on their clothing, that would be a reminder that, yes, I'm here because of the work of the Lord. And the oil being the picture of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord's working through me, Okay? So very graphic picture here the Lord's trying to get across. Now here's the interesting thing, okay? If you're in Christ today and you have submitted yourself to the Lord and said, Lord, you know, I want you to use me, and even gone to say, Lord, I just ask you to fill me with your Spirit. Just use me for your glory. You lead me, you guide me. If you've done that, then your clothes are stained too. The robes of righteousness that you have. You have been stained by the blood of Christ, by the oil of the Holy Spirit. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because it reminds us again that we're only able to serve the Lord by the sacrifice he made. And the work that we do, it's the Spirit working through us. Okay? So those are awesome reminders for us too. Now, this is interesting. We talked about this a little bit before, if you remember. For Aaron, the high priest, they took the oil and they poured it over his head. The priests who serve under him, and they're Aaron's sons at this point, they didn't have the oil put on their head. The oil they had was only put on their clothing. Okay, it was sprinkled on them, and it probably some did hit their face and things like that, but it was mainly hit in their clothing. The high priest, again, he was unique. He was the one who had the oil poured over his head. And that was a picture, again, of the Holy Spirit coming upon him. And we talked about Jesus having the Holy Spirit come upon him at the baptism there. So the same thing with you and me. Now, when we have the service to the Lord, we surrender ourselves to the Lord, and the Lord's using us. And it's in our daily walk as we walk with the Lord. Wherever he leads us, wherever he has us to go, we've got the Lord in us. He's working through us. And I mentioned to you last time, if you remember this, when they first started to pour the oil over Aaron's head, that oil was very fragrant. And there was a smell that would pass around, and it was very good smelling stuff, as the Lord is going to describe later all the ingredients they put in that. But it would be something you would notice as it was poured out, okay? Now, this same oil is what was sprinkled on them. So now they've got this smell on them too, this same kind of aroma. Now, for us, what does that smell like? What does it look like to have this dedication? I want you to see this in Galatians chapter 5. In the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5. So what does it look like? What does it smell like when a believer has the sacrifice of the blood, the oil of the Holy Spirit, when that's on them and they're allowing the Lord to use them that way? In Galatians chapter 5, look down to verse 22. And this is what it looks like. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's love. It's joy. It's peace, it's long-suffering, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, and it's self-control. As it says, against such there is no law. And see that when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're allowing the Spirit to lead us, this is the aroma that comes out. Man, this is good stuff, right? I mean, wouldn't you like to be around people all the time that have these kind of things about them, you know? And hey, the thing is, we can try this right now as we're walking in Christ, and we can strive for this. And we can't do it on our own. We have to say, Lord, please fill me with your Spirit and lead me, guide me, you know, use me. And the Lord can work these things through us. But do you realize the day comes and we're in heaven together with all the other saints, all the other people who have put their faith in Christ, all who have trusted in him. When we're with them, this is what you'll experience with everybody. Everybody in the place will be like this. That is awesome. That's cool. That's something to look forward to. So anyway, that's what that picture is, as we are now allowing the Lord to stain us and use us for his glory with that, the stain of the blood and the stain of the oil. That's a good thing, okay? All right, go back to our Exodus passage again. And now let's jump into verse 22. Notice how many details the Lord's given here. There's a reason for all the details, okay? Verse 22, also you shall take the fat of the ram, the fat tail, the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and the fat on them, the right thigh, for it is ram of consecration, one loaf of bread, one cake with oil, and one wafer from the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And you shall put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons, and you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. So this is another offering that's being introduced, and this is referred to as a wave offering. And the picture of that is that you're acknowledging that everything you have is from the Lord, okay? And these are kind of pictures of the food, right? You've got the bread and everything there, as well as some meat products, but also with the fat and that, you've got a picture of the sacrifice, and it's like everything is from the Lord. And their hands would be full as you piled these things in their hands, okay? A very interesting picture. Hold on to that thought, because we're going to talk about it a little bit more. It says in verse 25, then, he's talking to Moses. He said, "You shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering." And remember, as it says, that's a sweet aroma before the Lord. It's an offering made by fire to the Lord, okay? So here's Moses now. He takes these items, the Lord said, and he puts it in the hands of Aaron and his sons. And then after they do the wave, then they give it back to Moses and he receives them. Now Moses here is, again, he's the picture of God, okay? That as God has taken these gifts, that he's provided everything, and he's placed it in their hands, and now they've, you know, waved this back and said, "Thank you, Lord, for what you've given us," and they give it back to the Lord. Picture Moses receiving that, okay? And it's now the picture of the Lord accepting these things that were done for the Lord and for his glory by those who are holy, all right? And now he's taken them, and he's burning up this thing completely, as this has all been done for the Lord, and it's all for his glory. Okay, now this is, again, another really cool picture, okay? Because when we are in that place of being holy by the blood of Christ, when we're in the place of service by allowing the oil, the Holy Spirit, to work through us, the things that God does through us are, we have to acknowledge this isn't anything we've done, right? I mean, he's done all this through us. All those things we have done, the Lord receives all that work done in his name, as Jesus would simplify it, as he comes and explains in his ministry, "Do these things in my name." And that's the picture of the sacrifice and the oil and everything. So as these things are done, the Lord receives those back as a sweet-smelling aroma to him. Okay. Awesome picture of God allowing us to be used and being extremely pleased with the work we do in his name. Okay, now just as I mentioned, some of those items, you know, the loaf of bread, the cake, and the different things, here are some of the things that God puts into our hands to be used for his ministry. He puts the gospel there, the gospel, the message of salvation. That's one of the things he's placed in our hands. So we're to take that message out and use it for his glory. And as that's done, he receives that back, and it's a sweet smelling aroma. Boy, don't think anything. The devil will tell you when you try to witness to somebody, nothing's going on. They don't want to hear it. Man, this is the Lord being very pleased that you're handing that gospel out, that you've been given. It isn't anything you did. Jesus did all that work. All you're doing is a message. You're just carrying the message that's been placed into your hands. And as it's taken, it's used, you know, the Lord says, "Man, that's a sweet aroma. Love that smell." So don't let the enemy beat you up on that one. We talk about the bread it mentions here. Boy, picture the Word of God. As we're opening right now, the Word of God, and the Word is being put out. It's a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. It doesn't have to be here. Boy, this is in your quiet time as you open the Word before just you and the Lord. As you're out maybe in a Bible study somewhere, as any time you've got the Word open, the Word's coming out, whether you're listening on the radio or you're listening on one of the Bible sticks we talked about, anything that you're doing to have the Word open with you, before you, that's a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. It mentions also, if you noticed in there, it was unleavened bread that was to be taken out, and that's a picture of sinlessness. Remember the leaven picture of sin. So even as we strive to live a holy life before the Lord, even as you go through your daily life, and you've got that struggle with sin, but as you allow the Lord to give you strength to overcome sin, sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. And he receives all that back, okay? Sorry, guys. That's just an amazing picture of how much God loves to have us serve him and how cool that is in the eyes of the Lord. Now, it goes on, verse 26. "Then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration." Interesting, that ram had a special title, the ram of Aaron's consecration, being dedicated to the Lord. "And wave it as a wave offering before the Lord. It shall be your portion. And from the ram of the consecration, you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering, which is waved, and the thigh of the heave offering, which is raised, of that which is for Aaron, and of that which is for his sons. It shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever. For it is a heave offering. It shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, that is, their heave offering to the Lord. And the Lord's telling us here that as they brought these things and they did this heave offering and everything, it was something that was brought from the children of Israel, given to the priest to make this offering before the Lord and acknowledging everything comes from him. And these particular items it mentions here are the items the priest can keep for themselves to sustain their life. It's their food they're able to take in and feed themselves and their families, okay? So the Lord made a very cool provision for the priest, because they weren't going to, down the road, they weren't going to own property. That wasn't their job. Their job is to continually serve the Lord here. So there's going to be provision made for them to be able to do that. So they didn't have to go out and work the fields, raise cattle, do all kinds of things. They could devote themselves completely to serving the Lord. And then the provision was made from the children of Israel to help them survive that way. Now it goes on to verse 29. It says, "And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him." So when Aaron passes away, then these garments of the high priest will be passed down to the next son. And it says to him to be anointed in them, the son is supposed to be anointed in them, and he's to be consecrated in them. That son who becomes priest in his place shall put them on for 7 days when he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister in the holy place. And again, that seven is a number of completion. So the Lord was going to allow that to be passed on again to the next generation. All right. Let me mention, as we go verse 31 here, "You shall take the ram of consecration and boil its flesh in the holy place," that same ram. "Then Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. They shall eat those things with which the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them, but an outsider shall not eat them because they are holy." So it's saying that the Lord has made provision for them to take of the sacrifice, and again, is to provide their sustenance. But this particular part, and this part of their ceremony, if you want to call it that, they were eating in the presence of the Lord. And that's an awesome picture that they're having fellowship with the Lord. You know, it's a cool thing when we have a meal with someone. When we sit down and have a meal, there's a special thing that happens in that relationship because we're taking food in, and there's just something about that. It's kind of like the scripture talks about the koinonia fellowship in the New Testament, that koinonia Greek word. It means that fellowship that's there. And it's the idea that we're kind of being joined somewhat in that, in a relationship that we're friends. You know, you think about it, usually you don't sit down and have a meal with somebody you don't care about, right? I mean, usually you're eating with people that you care about, you like, you want to be with, and that's part of that idea. So these guys eating this food before the Lord is a picture of him wanting to have a meal with them. Them wanting to have a meal with the Lord. A very cool picture again of that fellowship. Okay? Now the Lord said that this is for them only. These things are holy, it's dedicated to them, so nobody else is supposed to eat them. Then verse 34, "If any of the flesh of the consecration offerings or the bread remains until the morning," so if they don't eat it all, "then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten because it is holy." Again, the Lord is keeping this picture of salvation, this picture of fellowship, very, very tight. There's no room to mess with changing things the way God has them. And the idea there, and God is trying to get this across, you have to come to me exactly the way I say you have to come. There is no other way, okay? Everything I tell you has to be done exactly the way I say to do it. You can't tamper with it. You can't change it. And that's important for us to learn that lesson, because you see what happens if man thinks he has any room at all to work. He will start 100,000 different denominations, if possible, of how we should come to God and everything else. Our own cult groups or something, you know. But the Lord makes it very tight so you can't mess with things. And it's intentionally that way. That's why I said, you notice all the detail they had. There wasn't any room to change things because God had it that tight. And it's important because you see that there were pagans around them that had all kinds of crazy practices, and they called it religion. You know, it was just a lot of immoral practices stuff, and they said that's part of our belief system. Well, you look around our society today and you see there's pretty crazy stuff going on too, and they all think it's what? It's okay, right? Well, according to the Lord, he has it very precise of how we should walk with him, how we should follow him, because we get in trouble if we don't do it his way. All right, and that's the big lesson we get from that. So those that serve the Lord, the picture we have here is they need to take in the word, to take in that bread and that sacrifice. Notice the priests took that and they ate it. It became part of them. And that's the picture, again, of us needing the Lord. We have to take that, what the Lord has shown us, we have to receive Christ as part of our life. We have to, it's not enough just to know, yeah, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. The question is, what have you done about that? Have you asked Jesus Christ, you know, to come into you and give your life to him? Have you accepted that, yes, I believe Jesus really did pay for my sins on the cross, so my sins are removed, I'm cleansed before the Lord, you know? To just know it isn't enough. You have to act upon it. You have to say, I want to apply that to my life. The picture someone had was it's kind of like medicine. If you have the medicine in the bottle, it isn't doing any good. That medicine has to be applied to the wound in order for the wound to start healing. And it's the same thing. To just know that Jesus died on the cross is not enough. You have to receive Christ and what he did and say, yes, I know he did it for me. He died in my place. I'm the sinner. I'm the one that deserved to die. He died for me. And I now belong to him. He paid for me. So I thank you, Jesus, you died for my sins. I praise you that you have removed them and cleansed me by your blood. And you are my Lord. You are my Savior. I follow you now. And to make that commitment to be a true follower of Christ. All right, our time shoots by so fast. We'll stop here and we'll pick it up next time. Let's go and pray at this point. Father, we just want to come to you and say thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd really help us to grasp the sacrifice that was done on our behalf. Lord, I just pray you'd help us see that Jesus, being so holy, was willing to die a criminal's death on the cross and was willing to accept the ugliness of our sin upon himself and to die in our place. If someone is here today, Lord, and they've never considered how important that was in your eyes, help them, Lord, today to receive that as true in their life and to receive Christ. Father, for those of us who have been followers of yours and we've been identified as a follower of Jesus Christ, Lord, today, if we are not walking with you, if we've allowed the world to creep in and we are following the world more than we're following you, I pray you'd help us, Lord. Help us just to throw away the junk of this world, to turn our back on it, and just to keep our eyes and our heart and our focus on Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much for your dear son that you gave on our behalf. And Father, I just want to just praise you for all you're doing. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all that praise in Jesus' precious and powerful and holy name. Amen.